previously on Worlds Away.
I think I immediately send a message to Arno and Nasir. We're compromised. They're engaging.
Nasir, you dart into the room, and the first thing that strikes you is there are only three people in the room, not counting yourself. And one of them is Arno.
So, uh-oh. Where the fuck are the hostages?
Miss Stone, I suggest you start explaining yourself.
Who else is on the shuttle with them?
No one, just them.
Were any of them in on it?
None of the ones on the shuttle. We knew we couldn't count on them.
I look over at Dr. Stone and your sister.
She told me this was what was going to happen anyway, that interfering, that's what would have been unethical.
They have no leverage over us. We could take them all off the planet right now. Why do they deserve to get what they wanted by threatening these people's lives?
Do you want to save the planet? And I'm looking directly at Mara.
If this were Earth, there'd be no question.
Because we have the capability.
We are treating these creatures as though they don't deserve our help because they can't help themselves. To someone else out there, we don't deserve help either.
This is the first time that we've been able to observe and interfere, but it's also the first time we've been able to observe and see how this ecosystem repairs itself. We don't know what's going to come from it.
We also didn't know what would happen when we introduced man-made plants to ecosystems across the verge and colonized them with our species.
We did know. Man would be able to eat.
This mission made it very clear to me that although we have the Verge's support, that support is tenuous. I don't think we have time for the dust to settle. I think we need to strike while the iron is hot. And I think we have to call everyone together.
Like some kind of convergence?
She said it!
God damn it.
Who do you think everyone is?
I was hoping to find you to apologize for what happened. For what it's worth, she was wrong. What are we going to do? Roam the galaxy, finding planets we can fix that no one invited us to?
I don't know if we should, but maybe someone out there is.
I just sort of rise and head to my room, and you see me go to, like, my drawer shelf system, and I pull out a small, probably silver container that contains the sample from the planet's surface that our friend gave me.
Out the window, I think we see a dim flash from the edge of Kairos. And then a few seconds later, a small ripple spreads through the clouds, almost like a tiny pebble was dropped into a lake as the planet grows smaller and smaller in the night. Welcome to World's Way, an actual play storytelling podcast. I'm your game master, John Ossop, and with me we have Haley Daria.
Hello, hello.
Lauren Wilbanks.
Who?
Michael Morales.
It's because it should have been Dr. Lauren.
Oh, I'm
Wilbanks.
So sorry,
no.
Dr. Lauren Wilbanks.
I didn't want to hear it.
No, you heard it. You heard it.
Lauren's
here.
Done a really good job of insisting that she doesn't want everyone to call her doctor because it'll get old, but nobody's done it, and she's just preemptively like, oh no, stop before this gets old.
I feel like I'm really being slandered here.
All right.
For what it's worth, I have called her doc on every call that her and I have had. Yeah. You could ask. This is not an exaggeration.
It's the sheen has worn off. I don't care anymore. Mm. I'm just waiting for the first paycheck. Anyway, are we doing something before?
Yeah, I think you gotta go back to me now.
Yeah, Michael Morales.
The horrors persist, but so do I.
Whew!
Well, and Moshe Dara.
What's up, doc?
I know.
Yeah. I was thinking that. But...
Got her.
So, see, Lauren, if you tell us you don't want to be called that, then we'll also just keep calling you that
there
because
is no
you
winning.
Don't like it.
Yeah, there's no success. Yeah.
I mean, the thing is that I had also picked What's Up, Doc before this. So, like,
if your friend insisted on being called doctor, that person is not your friend. That person is befoulment in human flesh.
The thing is if they insist on being called doctor, we will make them regret that insistence. Like, yeah. I don't know what to tell you.
Socially, you need to
squash. Way to go, doctor.
Doctor.
Yeah, no, but I did it. Anyway, I graduated. I got my PhD, if anyone's curious.
Woo! Good job, Lauren.
We can move on.
We need to keep all this in, by the way.
I'm excruciating. I'm like digging with my hands in my pockets, digging my fingernails into my thighs. I would like to move on.
No, it's good that we're riffing because our episodes are notoriously short. So it's good that we got this out here.
It's going to be our first three-parter.
33 minutes in and we haven't started.
Honestly, we got the intro in 30 minutes in. Yeah. Like,
that's pretty
that's good for us.
Fine.
Yeah. And the icebreakers that we reference constantly, but no one has ever heard.
Yeah, yeah. Any 3 to 10 to 1 bullshit ratio is like pretty fucking good for us. So we're rocking it.
Yeah, if 10%, if it's 10 times as much bullshit as content, doing great.
That's our average. All right. So where we last left off, the Valiant was jumping away from the Kairos system, where after you rescued the researchers there, including the 5 who were in fact responsible for this not quite hostage scenario, you allowed the asteroid to strike the planet and trigger this sort of extinction event there. So I want to pick up sometime after that, and my question to the group is, are there any scenes that we want to do on the Valiant during your 3-day trip back to Ascension? Or do we just jump ahead to when you're back on the station?
I mean, I think during the last episode, I hinted to Mike, to Arno, that we needed to take some pretty drastic steps. So I think everyone just gets like a message on their slate asking to meet in the wardroom like the next morning.
Okay. What do we see as you all kind of walk into the room? Or what's everyone's expression or feelings? We obviously had a lot going on in the last episode.
I think that Mara was actually in there first and maybe like an hour or two ago. And I think that she's kind of going over the like impact of this asteroid on the planet and trying to take a look at maybe the first kind of readings that are coming in. Like maybe right now it's just kind of the physics of the impact and the speed and all of the kind of shrapnel, planet-sized shrapnel that was like happened, you know, in basic atmospheric kind of measurements. But I think she's kind of been going over those for a while now.
Yeah.
I think Leela is pretty withdrawn. I don't think Leela's ever the most talkative person, but I think right now her energy is particularly low, and I think she's just going to kind of grab a chair when she gets in and just sit there and kind of stare.
I think Arno actually shows up late.
Huh.
What's he wearing?
Oh, he's got the Minerva Project jacket on. There's like, I want to say like, it's not so much that he's like walking in, like kind of like sauntering in, but there's like there's a usual crispness to his movements as he like walks into a room that's dulled somewhat, I guess you could say. It's almost like he's walking a little more relaxed.
Interesting.
Weird.
Is it off-putting?
That's up to you to decide.
I thought Arno was always off-putting.
No, but now that he's not, is it?
Yeah, I think I find how un-off-putting he is off-putting. I think once Arno arrives, I will have been watching like what Mara's doing over her shoulder. But like, I won't be chiming in, right? Like I will be respecting the actual expert here. Probably like making some tea since I no longer trust myself with the coffee maker.
Or either that or Cassandra doesn't. One of the two.
Yeah. He just reclaimed hot water privileges.
Again. Once Arno arrives, thank you all for coming so early. I mentioned yesterday evening to Lieutenant Hines that I am worried about losing our handle on galactic sentiment following the Kairos mission. And frankly, our popularity in the Verge can only go down from here. We have a moment we could utilize to make a real difference in galactic politics and actually slow the march towards war even further than we already have, pulling it back from the brink. I'm suggesting we bring together galactic leaders from across the Verge, the current Republic government, and Aventine leaders, including Aiden Kyros, and see if we can't reaffirm the terms of the armistice. Frankly, create a new one with the voice of the Verge involved. In addition to slowing the march towards war, I think we have a real opportunity to, in a more private setting with leaders of both governments, discuss the Lustra-destroying devices and what is to be done with them.
And just how are we going to get everyone to the table, Nasir?
Well, I suspect that we'll have to do a press briefing about the eco-terrorism that we just thwarted. I suggest that prior to that press briefing, we reach out to allies and enemies alike, send invitations, and then announce to the people of the galaxy that we are trying to convene as many groups as possible.
No, I think you misunderstand what I mean. I understand why the leaders of the Verge would show up. This is the first time that they would be extended a seat at the table in determining their own destiny. And I understand why President Lee would show up. But what are we going to do to get Aiden Kyros to show up?
At the first armistice talks, the leadership of the Verge was essentially non-existent. I would assume that if the Republic shows up, the Minerva Project is there, and the Verge leadership is there, they don't want to be absent from that room.
I think we also have the ability to leverage Reef Kasarik, who may be interested in a conversation that allows leaders of the Verge their own voice. If nothing else, she morally agrees with the sentiment, even if it would be politically disadvantageous. And she is an ideologue, in the purest sense of the word. If the Republic comes to the table to meet with the Verge, and there is representatives from Aventine willing to engage Verge leadership, it could apply the pressure we need to bring Kyros to the table.
Hmm.
That being said, I think we all know that Aventine is in an advantageous position. The devices make them the most powerful force in the galaxy, and it isn't particularly close.
That's what I mean. I think if I'm Aiden Kyros, I would just send Reef Kasarik and give myself the space to disagree with whatever comes of this peace conference. So I guess what I'm asking is, what are we going to do to strong-arm him to get him to come to the table?
What are you suggesting?
I think we let people know about the devices before the summit.
Who is people?
Everyone.
Arno, the last thing we want is to tip off Kyros and the Aventine government. We've kept this under wraps because if they know, they could take action to secure those devices more tightly. They could spread them far across the Verge, so it'll take us months to find them all. I don't think that publicizing it is going to have the effect that we want.
I'm on board with Leela here. If the galaxy knows about the devices, Aventine has no reason to not simply go to war and win. We'll all be at their mercy.
If the purpose of the Minerva Project is to fight for a unified humanity, then humanity has a right to know that Aventine has something that will keep us divided. Because that's what those devices are. A way to keep us isolated and alone in space. Unable to reach each other. Unable to communicate. And I understand that their very existence is a threat. And that people not knowing is more or less keeping them in check, but for how long? And if they do use one of them, what are we supposed to say? Oh, we had no idea and people will forgive us, or we knew and we didn't say anything because we didn't trust that you would react rationally or that Aventine would? Something needs to be done.
I don't disagree that people of the Verge and of Earth should know. I suppose, it feels strange to say, think tactically, Lieutenant. Right now, I'm very close to finalizing the design on this. And I think she'll bring up like a, you know, like a little schematic or something of the EMP device that she's been working on that deactivates the devices. If we show our hand too soon, Aventine will do exactly as Leela said. They'll disappear all of their devices at the Nemiroff Design Bureau and probably put them in locations we'll never find. But if we allow them a false sense of security, just enough for us to strike first, then we can level the playing field.
Why not have it both ways? I'm not saying that we announce to everybody that these devices exist and what they do, but that we announce to everybody that a danger to humanity exists and will be discussed at the summit.
If we're talking about dangers to humanity, do we just mean the Lustra devices? Or do we mean discussion about the Shepherds as well? And I think Leela has kind of been even just like half engaged in the conversation. But at this point, she's grown a bit tense and seems like she's actually making eye contact and everything for the first time.
I think to that, Arno, without missing a beat, says, I think everything should be on the table.
I think putting everything on the table makes perfect sense after we have a handle on the situation. The intention here is to reduce the chaos, not to exaggerate it.
The arms buildup needs to end. And Aventine's superiority, the number of devices that they have, also needs to be neutralized. From there, we can have a larger discussion about the totality of threats that humanity faces. But I would assert that we need to de-escalate the threat amongst ourselves first.
And what better way to de-escalate the threat than to shine a light on this outside group, these Shepherds, whose hands we're playing into right now? I think humanity would have an easier time not destroying itself if they knew that it wasn't just us out there.
You cannot effectively convince me, who is already a believer in sapient extraterrestrial life, the Shepherds exist. You stand no chance of convincing humanity. And I say it really blunt.
I think Leela stands up and says, honestly, I don't know if we can tell people yet. Nasir's right. You all barely believe me. I don't want to be shunned like I'm crazy. And I think she crosses her arms and starts pacing around the wardroom a little bit.
Fine. The Shepherds aside, and I want to make a point of stating that it's silly to conclude that no one will believe us when we haven't even tried to persuade them. But that aside, here we are talking about convening a peace summit and neutralizing the threat at the same time. Do we honestly think that Aventine is just going to voluntarily get rid of all of these devices on their own? And if not, are we just going to go in and clean it up and then assume that whatever comes from the peace summit, they're just going to be totally fine with after we've leveled the playing field? Not to sound ridiculous, but Dr. Belova, that's the kind of thing that I would normally suggest.
There's no reason we need to level the playing field ahead of time. They could come to the summit from a position of strength. Frankly, it lets them strong arm people into things more on their side. It's also working to our advantage that currently Aventine does not know that the Republic does not have these devices. They are firmly of the belief that the Republic has been building them for a decade.
So what's the order of operations here? We call a summit, fight for peace, let everyone go on their merry way, neutralize the devices, and hope that everyone continues to join us in a mission of peace and unity?
if we are explicitly and exclusively the only ones that destroy their cache of Lustra depleting devices, then that might divide some of their attention to the Minerva project.
Do they have to know it was us?
The alternative would be letting the Republic take the fall.
Or the Shepherds.
We do not have any evidence the Shepherds exist.
We have evidence that there is a third faction with technology that does not belong to Aventine or the Republic that has been blowing up our shit, and we possess the closest copy of their stealth technology that I am aware of. You're saying that we can't make it look like that was them?
I'm saying that we cannot sufficiently convince either side that everyone is innocent and that this is a third-party faction. We've failed to do so in the past. And two Republic scientists have now recreated the two most impressive pieces of technology that we were able to find from the stealth ship. Currently, the technology is hardly advanced enough to assume it is extraterrestrial, or even that the faction involved is anything other than particularly clever.
They have not believed us up until now when we've claimed that there was another faction. I think an attack on one of your most secure government facilities to neutralize a top secret weapon might get you to pay a little more attention, don't you?
What are you suggesting, Arno?
I'm saying if we go in, we make it look like it was someone else.
I will not participate in the plan that you're describing. And I think she locks eyes with him. To unveil one of the greatest discoveries, sapient life outside of humankind, to unveil that based on a lie is detestable to my very being.
We're convening a peace conference based on the lie that we don't know what Aventine is doing or that they have this weapon.
We're not lying to anyone. We're asking everyone to come in because people have been escalating and violating the armistice. We are asking them to reaffirm an armistice they already agreed to and to renegotiate it with the interested parties. In that discussion, we fully intend to reveal the information that there is additional technology, both of known origin and unknown origin, that complicates the situation, and asking everyone to affirm that they are not interested in using or escalating these technologies. We're actually suggesting everyone be honest. We're just saying that we are not involving the public yet.
Nasir, you don't have to convince me about the effectiveness of lying by omission. I get it. It's very effective. Information is everything in my work. But what I'm suggesting is, like, we're all choosing to keep some information secret from the general public right now, and we'll continue to keep information secret. My question is just, where is that line of comfort for you all?
I'm suggesting that we tell everyone everything. I'm just suggesting we do it after we've negotiated peace and not trigger a war.
So we bring everyone together. We negotiate a new armistice. That alone is no small feat. And then we reveal that Aventine has this technology and we eliminate it.
We're actually not revealing that Aventine or that the Republic have this technology. Both sides are aware of that. We're revealing to them that we know. We've already reported to the Minerva Project that these devices exist and are in the possession of Aventine, including Nico Torres, and it's part of the reason he mobilized the fleet. Aventine already knows that Earth invented these devices and in fact assumes that they have many of them. The only thing that we're revealing is that everyone knows that these things are out there, and we're asking everyone to decommission them.
Are we asking or are we telling? Because Dr. Belova has what could be a device that will deactivate them all.
I think the line between asking and telling comes down to the negotiation. We can deactivate the facility, but even Dr. Belova is likely unable to trace every device across the entire galaxy, hunt them down one by one, and deactivate them without being stopped.
If we don't bring everyone to the table and have this summit, deactivate the devices somehow by negotiation or other means, no one will ever know. And I think, again, she's looking at Arno. You are concerned that we're holding things back from the greater humanity. And I share that concern. But if we don't go forward with this plan, the respective governments will never tell their people that these exist.
That's one part of my concern, Dr. Bulova.
Lieutenant, I'm not debating who or how we take on the devices. I'm saying we need to call the players to the table and try to negotiate peace. I think we can determine whether or not we need to go on a covert mission to disable these devices in the middle of the peace summit after we've called the peace summit.
We are also not a strike force. We're not an armada. What I'm suggesting is not akin to Nico Torres's plan, nor is it akin to why these were developed in the first place by the Republic, or how Aventine wants to use them. I'm saying we deactivate the ability to produce these cataclysmic devices. Do you think those are morally the same?
Can you explain to me how they are? Tell it to me like I'm a citizen of the Verge.
I can explain to you how I see it. If we would have stood by and allowed Nico Torres in the fleet to perform a large-scale invasion of Aventine and Aventine-friendly Verge planets, it would have been a colossal amount of destruction. And more than likely, completely severed the connection between the people of Earth and the people of the Verge. What I'm suggesting is that we use this device that I have developed to tactically disable these devices that can strand, separate, tear apart pieces of humanity from one another. I don't believe they should have that power. I don't believe anyone should have that power.
It's also worth noting, the Republic did not have a way to disable these devices, and frankly, we're going to wage a war that they would have lost. If we disable the devices, we reduce the likelihood of war, because even though Aventine will be more agitated, they will be less prepared and less likely to win.
These devices change the strategy in a fundamental way. They change the nature of war. I don't know war the way you do, Arno, but it seems fair to me to not want it to get worse.
What these devices do is end a war quickly. But Dr. Bulova, you were on that same asteroid as me. You saw that Aventine was gearing up for a long, protracted war. If they decide that they want to fight, right now they're ready to outlast us. Now, I'm not saying that I disagree that this is the way to go, but Nico Torres, acting on his own authority, decided to mobilize the fleet to launch a strike on the Nemirov Design Bureau. And you can say that the difference here is whether there are more explosions or less explosions, and it's a more strategic operation on our end. But at least he owned that he was acting on his own authority when he made the decision to launch that strike. Are we prepared to own that too?
Nico Torres didn't even know where the Nemirov Design Bureau was. If you're asking me if I'm prepared to disable weapons that are themselves crimes against humanity and say that in doing so I will piss off the Aventine government, it wouldn't be the first time I was persona non grata.
I'm not asking if you're willing to own the action. I'm asking if you're willing to own the consequences.
We don't necessarily have to make this decision, just the four of us. We have a director of the Minerva Project that we actually kind of trust now. We also can discuss this with President Lee if that's what we want.
I'd honestly love to hear Reeve Kasarik's opinion on this.
Which is why I'm suggesting we call a peace summit. I'm happy to discuss whether or not we should commit treason again for the good of humanity. But what I'm trying to figure out right now is if we can begin outreach to call this summit. I would like us to have this in place before we have to speak to the press. Because to do this properly, all parties need to be notified before we go to the public. And that gives us about 3 days to figure it out while we're in flight.
I don't see a way around the Peace Summit.
It's our best option.
I'll begin preparations immediately. And I'll make to leave the room, but before I go, I'll turn back and look at Arno. We're trying to prevent a war, not start one. That's the difference between us and Nico Torres.
Hello, it's Haley. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you're enjoying the show. Okay, now listen in. The rest of the team is expecting me to tell you to share the podcast with, I don't know, I guess people who would like it or something. And yeah, tell your friends and family. Talk us up at work. Hell, tag us at Worlds Away Pod on social media. But here's what I really want. I want you to share us with someone you think would hate this. You know that person in your life. They get way too into the things that they dislike. They have a critique for everything. That's who I want. Compliments, they're fine. But what I really feed on is the spirit of the haters. Bring them to me. Oh, shoot. Hold on. They're coming back. Hold on. Okay. And you can find us online at worldsawaypod.com. Thanks again for listening. Now, back to the show. Remember what I said. Haters.
I think it's fair to say that we have reached the end of an arc. And so at this point, I'd like to go through the cliffhanger move and dole out some XP to you four. So, Mike, maybe you can kick it off for us this time, but let's go around and read each of our hooks, and then we'll see if any of those impacted events or your character during the mission, and then we can swap out any that are no longer relevant. So, Mike, whenever you're ready, if you want to go ahead and read your hooks, and then we can kind of look at which of those applied here.
Oh, man. Okay. I have faith in Admiral Mendoza. I know that she'll always put her team in the mission first.
Hey, bud, I think you need to switch out a hook.
Great start. We are pawns in someone's game. I won't let them win. Fuck. And I don't respect people who haven't proven themselves. I'm working on it. Anyway, shit.
I don't know what to do about that mess.
I know that we are pawns in someone's game. I won't let them win was sort of like a meta situation for like the greater plot, as it were, but within the arc, I feel like that was somewhat true. And I don't know if, John, you want to apply it in that case, and I'm fine if the answer is no. But like, I also didn't roll towards that. So like, I'm fine with just saying I didn't do any hooks and I just need to change one.
And I guess, I mean, the thing that I would say is if it applied in a situation that it kind of compelled your behavior, then I would think that would work. I'm not sure when that would have been. So I'm kind of leaning against, but I'm open to a pitch.
I'm fine with saying that I did not use any of my hooks.
Okay, I think that works. So then we were kind of were keying in on one to change out. Do you have any ideas for that, or what's your thoughts?
The problem is that like I actually want to change two of them.
Okay, that's allowed. Rare, but allowed.
So we are pawns in someone's game. I won't let them win. I want to modify to we are pawns in the shepherd's game. I won't let them win.
Oh shit! Oh, I love that. Did you change one last arc about like Leela in any way, or did that not happen?
I don't think that happened.
I don't know why I thought that. Okay. All right. I love that.
And I think that works. I think that's going to be a temporary thing, but I think that like, just given where Arno's at and where he thinks, like whose game he thinks it is right now, I think it's just like, he's leaned into this, but I'm doing it fully understanding that like that might change again.
Fascinating. No, that I like it. I think it's good to be acting like on your information at the time. You know, even if we as the players know that's, I think that's a great choice for a hook.
Yeah. And then I have faith in Admiral Mendoza. I know that she'll always put her team in the mission first. The problem is I know that she put her team in the mission first. I'm just not on that team anymore.
Aww.
And so buddy. I think it's something to the effect of like looking for like a new purpose. And so I want to just invoke, I want to make that a little more succinct. And it's just like, I'm rudderless without FSOC. I won't let anything threaten what home I have left.
Okay. That's that for you, Mike. Lauren, you want to go next for Mara?
Yeah, sure. So my hook one, solving the big problems is the most important thing I can do. I won't let relationships with others stand in the way. I've grown accustomed to order and structure. I get stressed when things go off script. Leela's abilities are powerful and mysterious. They require greater scrutiny. I honestly can't remember. I feel like I did apply one of these. I'm pretty sure I explicitly called hook one earlier. So, yes.
All right. Yeah, so you got to mark XP.
Whee!
And then any you want to change out?
I'm going to keep those for now.
All right. How about Mo?
So my hooks are the fleet and its agents are moving for war. I must stop them at any cost. Many underestimate the horrors of war. I can't help but lash out when I hear it. Someone knows my secret, and I will take risks in order to stop them.
Ooh.
I feel like that last one is really funny because you just, like, you lost the original secret, and then you just gained a second secret.
Yep. I think that one is about the blackmail. The last one's about, like, the blackmailer knows my deep secret. You all, I'm not worried about you all finding out, but the public could still create problems. That being said, I definitely invoked the fleet and its agents are moving for war. I must stop them at any cost, and it switched my vote.
Yeah. That was, man. All right, yeah, go ahead and mark XP for that. Any you want to switch out?
Nope.
All right, and Haley.
Yeah, so my first hook is people outside of the Sato Institute can never understand what we do. I avoid questions about indexing and the Institute however I can. Second one is a strange vision has left an impression on me. When challenged, I react poorly. And the third is Arno treats everyone we meet as an enemy. I'll help him see the bigger picture. The second one about when challenged, I react poorly, specifically about the Shepherd's situation. I explicitly invoked when I stormed out of the discussion, and I think has definitely colored the way that Leela has been acting recently. So I think I get some XP for that.
All right, go ahead and mark XP. And any you want to swap out?
No, I'm so good with these.
I'd say maybe you invoked helping Arno see the bigger picture in a very particular way last arc also, but...
Yeah, who's keeping track?
All right. So that's it for the hooks. And now we got kind of some general questions for the team that we can all answer collectively and see if we get some more XP or not. So the first question is, did we complete a mission or contract?
Oh, hell yeah. We destroyed the fuck out of that planet.
Yeah. All right. Well, and rescued the people, but maybe that's a side note to the big picture here.
Turns out they weren't in danger anyway, so.
The ones I'm...
The five were, at least, but...
I'm just saying, I was there at the end of the day for the ones who were on the orbital. The ones who were on the planet could get fucked for all I care.
Well,
that's Lauren,
you got them all off anyway, so go ahead and mark some XP.
That's a level for me.
Oh, nice. Woo! All right, so go ahead and clear that track, and we'll come back to you in a second to see what advance you take. Next question is, did we learn something new and important about the universe? This one I'm actually less sure about for the first time since we started playing this game, but I'm open to arguments.
I mean, broader, the whole mission was about, like, observing an extinction-level event.
I'm going to say that we actually, like, set a precedent for humanity and learn something, like, really deep about the, like, shape of our species, but not about the universe, I don't think.
Yeah. I think it's hard to justify learning something new about the universe, unfortunately.
All right. Well, maybe we'll take an L on that one, but I'm confident next arc we're going to make big progress here. Next question is, did we make a new enemy or thwart an existing enemy? Maybe that one's an L too. I don't know. But
I bet those people that were about to throw in space jail don't really like us.
I guess they were thwarted if you consider them your enemy in this sense. So maybe that is an option.
We thwarted their plan. Like, their plans were to get all of these things and they got none of them and arrested. However space jail works.
Space arrested. Yeah. No, yeah. I think go ahead and give your, I mean, again, I'll take arguments against if anyone has them, but I think we were kind of hardened ourselves on the last one. So maybe it averages out to one.
So just to clarify, we've asked three group questions, two of which we said were yeses.
Yeah. So far
I've leveled up.
Congratulations.
I've been giving myself stress. Whoops.
Oh.
They should really be different
shapes.
Me too,
but
they should really be different fucking shapes.
Okay. Yeah, that, so, I mean, my bad.
How?
All right, so
I
made the character sheets, so that was my bad.
You can change the shape?
No, I don't think not with the software. Okay. I don't think I changed shape.
Yeah, then, then.
If I could, maybe a little star.
I was ready to blame you. You, like, immediately jumped that it was your fault.
Which, good, I appreciate that in a manner.
Okay, Raccoon.
Yeah. All right, well, Mo, we will, again, clear your XP track, and we'll come back to you and see what advance you take. The last question is, was there a big moment that hinged on a critical role?
Yes.
But I knew the citation. Oh, I know what it is. Never mind. I don't even need to ask, but y'all can decide that.
I mean, there were multiple. There was the one where Dr. Stone was trying to escape and we had to roll. We sabotaged the systems and made all the people run to the other side. And then... Mm-hmm. There was an altercation where we had to, where Mike ran, or sorry, Arno ran in and stuck that lady to the ground.
My proposal is going to be your mixed success on the indexing.
Yeah, I was waiting for that one.
My mixed success on the indexing. I keep forgetting that was this arc.
That was this arc, yeah.
It feels like its own thing.
Yeah, that was kind of the biggest thing that episode. So it did kind of overshadowed the whole you were going to the planet to rescue these hostages thing.
Well, I leveled up on that.
All right.
Yeah.
Everyone go ahead and mark XP.
I also leveled up.
So three of the four big ones, correct?
Yeah. Yep. I think that's right.
That is correct.
All right. So everybody leveled up. If you just did, clear your XP. And let's go around. So Mike, I think you hit it first. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So go ahead and tell us what advance you're taking.
I'm actually going to do a really boring one. I'm going to take an extra gear slot.
Oh, hell yeah.
I think that's the right answer.
You were running short on gear slots last arc, so I do think that's a good one.
Yeah.
Arna loves his gear. All right, so you took that. And Mo, what about you?
I think that after my decision to sacrifice trillions of life forms for like the good of the mission, I am actually going to up my calculating score.
Oh, I like that.
Oh, that's funny.
All right, plus one for that. And Haley and Lauren, I think you both hit it at the same time, so whoever wants to jump in first.
I also want to up my calculating score.
Oh, shit. You did not up that before? Or
I couldn't have, because I don't have anything at a plus three.
Yeah. Then, that's right. Go ahead, hit that.
I definitely got super confused about how anything works, because I was like, well, all of my things are clicked as I had upgraded them, but there's nothing at a plus three, so that can't possibly be true. And I'm pretty sure calculating was my plus two at the beginning.
Yeah, I think that's right.
If not, I only have one plus three, so we'll just let me have it, please.
Fine.
So I'm debating between two boring ones. One is I could up my alien to plus three, which is the only one I haven't upped yet. Or I could add another gear slot because I have three and I feel like while I didn't get close, I feel like I could have. So I don't know. I'm thinking.
I have a question. What do we do once we've upped all of our stats, added a gear slot, and have no more moves to add?
I think that's unlikely to happen before we get to the end of the campaign, but if that does happen, you can add more moves from other playbooks if you want to.
For what it's worth, I'm five level ups away from that, so I think it's probably not going to happen.
No.
I mean,
five is closer than I thought.
Depends on how much I fail.
I don't really have any other moves that I want from my playbook, and otherwise I have two left, so I would probably have to start picking other playbooks moves if very soon here.
I have a question. Yeah. Can you pick other playbook moves before you've picked all of yours?
Yes. I mean, you just have to talk to me about it, that's like in the rules of the game. But generally speaking, I'm totally fine with it. Unless it's like the only like thing I want to do is make sure you're not like taking another player's thing, if that makes sense. But that's other than that, I'm totally fine with that.
Okay.
Suggestion.
Oh, damn. So during Mo's downtime, he went to the
Seer learns to index.
Yeah.
And also unlocks Leela's magical power that no other indexer has simultaneously.
So I think what I'm going to do for my upgrade is add a plus one to alien, which was my plus two. So that will be plus three. And I am now
unstoppable.
I've upped all of my stats. So I am.
Oh,
the
really?
Greatest. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Damn.
I have
all right. I'm
zero,
impressed.
Two plus ones, a plus two, and a plus three. So I got to start getting creative from here because I'm going to have to pick some interesting moves next time.
Was our whole thing about Haley just rolls better than us actually just she upped all her stats early in the game and then we were kind of stuck with those results?
No, it's just that when I started getting level ups, which was later than everyone else, to be clear. Mm.
Okay.
I didn't use like half of the moves for the Mystic don't super make sense with how we interpreted the Mystic. I think there's four moves that I don't really think I will ever take. So I just was upping my stats. But now I'm going to have to start finding other moves. So I'm going to have to start looking at the other playbooks.
All right. Well, I like it. Good choices, everyone. So at the end, we need to tick off some fuses. On the ship playbook, I think the fourth estate fuse is actually already maxed out. So I'm not sure there's any more checking that we can do on that one. But we do need to reduce the maintenance fuse by one. So Haley, if you could jump in there and take care of that for us, that would be amazing.
Okay, we're now at negative one.
So at this point, I think we're back on Ascension Station, and maybe the four of you briefly spoke with Sasha Green about the kind of current mission or the situation on Kairos and turned the five members of the FIV over to the authorities from the Republic. But at this point, now that you're back on the station, I want to know what we see the four of you doing next.
So I think before we all go off and do our own thing, John, I think we should all go brief Sasha Green and then like head off and do our own stuff.
And by that, you mean about your sort of what you discussed on the ship?
About the peace conference that we're co-hosting with her that we haven't told her about yet, I guess.
Yeah.
Her unexpected hosting duties. Okay. So maybe we cut to what used to be Shaw's office and is now Sasha's office. And maybe we see you all shut the door behind you. And I want to kind of cut forward to maybe you've explained the gist of everything you discussed on the ship. So we don't have to kind of go through all of that dialogue again. And I think after getting that explanation, maybe the first line we cut in on is Sasha Green saying, I think I have to agree with Dr. Belova's assessment of this situation, though. I'm not sure why Aventine would agree to give up these devices when they clearly have the upper hand. But at the same time, I'm not sure how they wouldn't see any move against them as the start to a war, especially if the Republic is keeping the device that you recovered on Feronia.
Well, they might find that the device is a little more difficult to re-engineer or otherwise analyze technologically. I might have left some sort of virus waiting in it.
I think... I think Sasha Green just kind of looks at you and raises an eyebrow, but then you see the hint of a smile creep onto her face.
That's our Mara.
Maybe that will be enough. It's hard to say. I'm not sure that Aventine has ever been in the most trusting mood toward us. Even if we are able to pull this off and get the leadership of the Verge, Earth, Aventine to all agree to a new treaty, where does that leave Nico Torres, the fleet, the people on Earth who were angling toward war? It didn't sound like they had a seat at this table.
Well, we are going to invite the democratically elected government of the Republic, and anyone that that democratically elected government would like to bring as a representative, it is more than welcome to. I don't understand why the minority perspective should get an undue seat at the table. And there's a smile on my face, but it's not the usual smile. It's like sick. It's like a really twisted smile.
Nasira's loving this.
Nasir kind of wants some people to not make it on their trip if they come.
I think there's an exhale from Arno, just like from his nose. He doesn't look towards Nasir. He's still keeping his eyes forward, but
I think Leela will chime in and say, from a negotiation perspective, it might not be the worst idea to have a fleet hardliner or two present. It makes our demands seem more reasonable. And it makes them, at least theoretically, bought into the result of the negotiations.
If the core objective of the Minerva Project is to work towards a unified humanity, then I don't understand why we would get off on the wrong foot and invite separate factions of each representative government to the table.
Where does that leave Reeve Kasarak?
I think we're being a bit hypocritical if we expect to invite Reeve Kasarak, who has at least subtly, if not explicitly, been in opposition to Kyros, but we're not willing to entertain the idea that people like Nico Torres have influence on Earth as well. This armistice will be worthless if it's overturned next time there's an election and the Hawks get in power.
I think we don't really have control over who either government sends. I don't know why we would include an explicit invite for Nico Torres, but frankly, I don't see a scenario where he or one of his representatives aren't at the summit. He's an incredibly influential councilman, so much so that he was made head of the Minerva Project and was able to mobilize the fleet with very little oversight. If we think that he'll avoid coming, I think we're overestimating our abilities. We're debating minutia we have no control over.
So I think with that, Sasha Green kind of closes the cover on a slate on her desk, and she says, well, I can't say I'm not concerned that my role here is going to end the same way it started, with a announcement by the Minerva Project surprising everyone on Earth and throughout the Verge. But I'm not sure there's any better path forward. When are you going to send the invites?
As soon as you approve. There is one other person I wanted to consult.
I think she just kind of looks up at you.
I would like to read in Ramon Herrera to our situation in its entirety.
I think Leela darts a glance over at Nasir, trying to assess what "in its entirety" might mean.
So Mara crosses her arms and just rotates at the waist completely. Her upper body is facing Nasir.
Oh my God.
And she says, go on.
Currently, there is one person who has risked as much as this crew and committed as much treason to their government in order to ensure peace that has not, as of yet, been a member of this project. This person has greater understanding of the inner workings of the Aventine government than any person we've had before, and could be a big asset to us. I want to include Ramon in the Minerva Project.
So just so I understand, though, Mo, you've not told Sasha Green that Mateo is your husband yet, correct?
That Ramon is Mateo.
Unfortunately correct.
And
not something that Mo necessarily remembered. So I do think that the other three members of the project are in a very awkward and uncomfortable position in this moment. And are welcome to press that if they'd like.
Nasir, do you believe that Ramon is making extensive moves against his government? Or has he been told to keep contact with you and investigate you under any means necessary?
Does Sasha Green respond to that question?
I think her brow just froze at that. Because, I mean, he's been in her apartment.
Yeah.
She does know that we have, that he was my back channel and we had a connection.
Yeah, and that you had a personal relationship. I think you said as much.
Mm-hmm. I think at that question, I just respond, I think it's a possibility. And in fact, the reason I am asking for this consent is because I intend to confront him about the nature of our relationship.
Nasir, I don't think that it would be appropriate to read Ramon in on all facets of the mission and disclose everything that the Minerva Project knows without bringing the director of the Minerva Project up to speed on everything we know about Ramon.
I think when you say that, Sasha Green gets a confused look for a second, but then starts staring daggers at the four of you, but particularly at you, Nasir.
I have briefed the other members of the project on the exact nature of my relationship with Ramon Herrera when we were on Aventine together.
I say nothing.
Director Green, I intend fully to read you in. I do, however, have to speak with Ramon first, and I will withdraw my assertion to include him in the project or to give him any information here. I want to make it clear, Director, it's not that I don't trust you, it's that it's not my information to share.
I think you're going to have to roll plus slick now.
Nice.
Can I, when you try to convince someone of a fact about your past, regardless of whether it's true, you have advantage?
What's the fact that you're trying to convince her of?
That we had a relationship on Aventine that won't fundamentally compromise the entirety of the mission?
I mean, I don't think anything you've said so far has done that. So if you have another line that you're going to say, I think the last thing you told her was, there's a secret that you'll tell her later, but you have to get his permission. And I think that that's a manipulate role. But if you have, if you want to tell her something else.
No, I do want to follow up. It's not my secret to share. The relationship I had with Ramon Herrera on Aventine fundamentally compromises us both.
Huh.
That was true the day I landed back on Earth after leaving Aventine. And it is something about which the Lee administration is fully read in. Which is true.
Yeah,
the truth matters for my stump speech. So slick plus advantage?
Yeah.
That is a 1, a 4, and a 4, which is an 8 on the dice, plus 3 is 11.
Okay. All right. So for manipulate on a 10 plus, they can accept your offer at face value and agree to the exchange, or ask you to promise something, and they'll do what you want if you agree. I think her look just hardens, and she looks to you, Nasir, and says, this relationship, this secret, would it sabotage this attempt at peace if it got out?
It would sabotage my ability to help bring peace about. But it wouldn't fundamentally change any aspect of the negotiation other than my participation. Which, to be clear, Nasir fully believes to be true.
Yeah. And I think also, like, this kind of reinforces what I think is the most logical explanation that she would draw, which is that your whole image was that your husband and your son died on Aventine, and that this was revealing you having some kind of affair with the person that became the Aventine vice consul on Ascension Station.
Yeah.
Yeah. She thinks I cheated on my husband, my dead husband.
Yeah.
That you used as a political ploy.
Right. Which, is that better? Is that worse than the truth? Who can say? It doesn't really matter.
Hard to say. I think she nods and just says, you can speak to him first, but it's important that we all start trusting each other if we're going to make this work. If we can't have trust within this group, how are we supposed to spread it throughout the galaxy?
It is fully my intention to remove the barrier of secrets in its entirety. Unfortunately, there's another party to all those secrets. If that's all, Director, I apologize. I need to see him as soon as possible.
She just nods.
And I'll leave.
After he leaves, I think I just offer, Director, for what it's worth, I think you should trust Nasir on this one.
Leela nods.
I agree.
Aw, fam.
I think, again, she doesn't say anything, but just, again, nods at the three of you. So I think I know where Nasir is headed next, but where do we see the other three of you going? Or what comes after this meeting with Sasha Green?
I think Mara, game mechanically, this will shake out how it shakes out, but I think now she's gonna urgently return to the lab to finish preparations on the EMP, because if there's a possibility of us using that, or a probability, she wants to be fully ready to engage that technology.
I think Arno is going to end up making his way back to the ship. He's a man of his routines, and now that he's not briefing Mendoza, I think he'll take a stroll around Ascension, check to see if the coin's there, and then make his way back to the ship.
And by the coin, just for, you mean the sort of indicator in the fountain that there's a message for you at the dead drop, is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
So I think you go and you look at the fountain, and I don't think you see anything in there. But I think we had established last time that you had also kind of checked to see if your message was still under the bench. And I think you reach down and you see that it is gone.
So I just want to change that really quickly. Like a slight change to that, which is, I think Arno would think the action of like reaching down to check for something over there is like a little too obvious, and has sort of just like developed a habit of like kind of like swinging his feet to like click his heel at the bottom of the bench to see if there's like an object there or something.
Yeah. I didn't mean to suggest that it had to be obvious. I think that there was like, you have enough trade craft where it was like going to tie your shoe or like brushing your leg or something lightly. But yeah, you check it either way, and that you see that finally, at least after this trip, the message is not there. And, you know, I don't know if that means that Scion has it or something else, but it is no longer at the bench. And that was one of the things that you had been checking for before.
I think that makes him a little nervous and excited. Either Scion has the message and this worked, or somebody else intercepted it and he's fucked.
Yeah. So then after this, you still head back to the ship?
Mm-hmm.
What about Leela?
I think Leela is making her way back to the ship. And in her spare time, I think I mentioned in our last episode, she's been working on kind of an accounting of all of the life that was on Kairos before the asteroid hit. And so I think she's maybe been working on that on and off. And that's what she starts working on when she gets back to the ship.
Well, maybe we'll come back to the rest of you, but I think I want to do the scene with Nasir and Mateo now. So Mo, I know that you said you wanted to go see Mateo, but I guess you know that his apartment is kind of compromised in some way. So I guess my question is, how are you initiating this meeting and where is it?
Oh, I think I'm going straight to his apartment.
Okay, despite that fact.
Yes.
Okay.
So I think I'm going to go to his apartment, and I'm going to get there as covertly as I can. I'll double back if I have to, but like to avoid detection. And then when I get there, it's just like a very urgent.
I think maybe you have to knock a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I think eventually the door opens and it's kind of a crack at first. And I think it's clear that you woke him up, but with your knocking on the door, maybe it's sort of, you know, I don't know how Ascension uniform time compares to whatever you were operating on the Valiant, but maybe it's was an awkward time that you made it to the apartment. And I think he looks up to you and says, when I told you I needed time this year, that wasn't an invitation to show up at my door again. What is it that you need?
I'll actually just almost push past him.
Oh, okay.
I'll put a slate into his arms that has the messages from Albert. And say, your apartment's been compromised. And I will head straight for the desk that like would have been, or like the whatever would have had the angle that would have been able to film the two of us talking.
Yeah.
And begin searching for a camera.
So I think you see him look at that, his eyes widen, and I think he's kind of playing back the video, maybe on an earpiece again, or in some way that it's, you know, the audio is only audible to him. And you're looking at the desk, and I think I had said in a previous episode, you know, this was kind of off mic, but not to Nasir's knowledge, but that the lamp that we kind of zoomed in on, that had been moved in exchange for the Sensa plant that you had given him as a gift. And I think you're looking for the lamp unsuccessfully because of that fact. But I think then Mateo grabs your arm and whispers to you and says, we need to talk, not here. What you're doing right now isn't safe.
I'll meet you in the library. And I think before I leave, I will just whisper in his ear, sweep the place and get out. We can house you if necessary. And I'll walk away.
So I think we kind of just cut immediately to the library then. We haven't really described the inside a lot other than the sort of the reception desk area and the what some of the bookshelves looked like. But where in the library do we find you two? Is there some kind of space that's conducive to this, or are you just standing among the shelves of books?
I think that we're in a private room.
Okay.
I think that there are probably like the equivalent of like what would be study rooms. The books here are clearly precious, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't think that that everyone is always checking them out. I think so if you wanted to look at something in a text, it is probably really common to take one of these spaces and like utilize it. And I think that I've probably, in addition to like sweeping the study room, I probably have an Arno like scramble button or whatever, like just something that's like, I don't, if somebody's listening, I want to know, or I've taken out my scanner.
Yeah. Maybe it's like, the scanner. You have the scanner, right? Is that a thing you have?
I do have a scanner.
Yeah. I don't think you need to roll for this unless there's something else that you're trying to do with it. I think we just see you using the scanner and sort of confirming that there's nothing in this reading room. I think we see Mateo kind of shaking his head, and he says to you, Nasir, leaving the apartment, taking drastic action, that's going to tell whoever's responsible for this, and he kind of gestures to the slate, that you've read me in on the situation. If we do anything to alarm them, what's to stop them from releasing this to the public?
I thought it was you.
Thought? What do you mean?
And I will sit in a chair, like, slumped. You're right. You can't leave immediately. It would notify them. But I thought them was you when I got this message. Didn't even make sense. I spent the last 7 days worrying that I hadn't warned you.
You've known about this for a week?
The first message came in immediately after the press conference, when I contacted you and asked you if you were safe. The next day, I was gone, off to stop some eco-terrorists in the Verge.
I think he just kind of scoffs and like walks to the corner of the room with his back to you.
There's more. The other members of the Minerva Project. Lieutenant Hines. Dr. Belova. Leela Malik. They know the truth. Deputy Director Green thinks we're having an affair. And that I'll say with a painful, like, smirk. I think the thing that I'm trying to get across is that it had begun crumbling.
Yeah.
Right? Like, when they all knew about him, they all knew he was a back channel, they all knew we had a relationship, they all knew that it had been an ongoing relationship and it was personal, and I just ripped it off.
Yeah. What's on this slate our secret would expose me being a loyalist before the war and you being a fraud after it. And you told three more people without asking me.
I'm asking you before I tell a fourth. I asked Director Green to read you in on the full mission of the Minerva Project. This blackmailer is using our relationship to compromise that mission. You're a known advocate for peace with intimate knowledge of the Aventine government. I wanted to bring you in fully. I read the others in because I had to make a quick decision on what to do, and the project came first, before my reputation, or yours. I'm telling you now because it threatens your safety, for that department to be compromised, not because it threatens your reputation. I can't keep up charades anymore, with you, or with the project. There is too much at stake. I am a fraud. And the only thing that changes if the public knows that is my ability to speak directly with important people. And this mission is more important than all of them. And if you knew what I know, you'd agree.
I think he kind of shakes his head at that and says, do you really think that's the only thing that would change? The armistice, the peace, all of that was driven by your lie. You changed the sentiment on Earth. You were the icon. And every person who knows about this raises the risk of it getting out exponentially.
The largest risk to it getting out is not more members of the Minerva Project knowing. It's the person who knows who is actively threatening to reveal it. I needed everyone coordinated to be able to stop them. There are no fewer than three major threats to peace right now. One of them is on that slate. One of them is what we're dealing with this project. And one of them is the political machinations of two bloodthirsty. And I just think I like sit down exasperated. We cannot play on five different sides anymore.
I think he looks back down to the slate, and you showed him like the full text and the messages between you and Albert, right?
Yes.
I think he says, their request, did you do what they asked for?
I did.
And they haven't asked you anything else since?
No. But I think it's only a matter of time. I'm in this fucked up spot because, sorry, Haley's mom, but I just don't, I, Mo, and also Nasir, like, don't know if it's Mateo. Like, the blackmailer still could just be him.
Yeah. I mean, do you want to roll for that? Do you have some way of rolling for that?
You don't have to. Can I use other people? When you make a person feel like they share a real connection with you, roll plus slick. On a 10 plus, you get a good read on them. Hold three. It's my signature move. No, it's not my signature move. It's just my first move. Literally, the first question is your character telling the truth? Like, I get to ask one for one with them.
Yeah, yeah.
Is your character telling the truth?
Yeah. I think you need to do something more if you're going to use that to make him feel like he shares a real connection with you. Like, it has to be something more than the connection you already have.
Mateo, our worlds are falling apart. And I'm sorry for coming back. I'm sorry for hiding something from you. I'm sorry for sharing your secret, our secret, with other people. I'm sorry I ever left. And I'm sorry about Salim.
Roll plus slick.
That is a 13.
On a 10 plus, you get a good read on them and you can hold three. And during your interaction, you can spend hold one for one to ask them one of the following questions. Is your character telling the truth? What are they truly feeling? What does your character intend to do? How could I get them to do something? I'm just kind of blank there. Or what does your character wish I'd do?
So the first question I have to ask is your character telling the truth about this idea that it's not them? They didn't know. Like, this whole reaction, is it truthful?
Yeah. You mean, like, did they know that about the blackmail? Like, were they the blackmailer?
Right. I need to know if I feel he is the blackmailer after all of this.
Yeah. You 100% think he is surprised by this and is not the blackmailer.
I think with the other four questions, I really want to ask all of them as this man's ex-husband.
Yeah, but you only get two.
I know. I'm going to ask, how can I get your character to trust me? Like, take this leap of faith to work with us. Like, how can I get your character to work with us?
Yeah.
And then the last question is purely selfish. And it's, what does your character wish I'd do?
Pipe.
Take those panties off.
Should have come here in my slutty clothes.
Yeah, where's the mesh? The tactical neck. You'd be given that tactical neck.
We're going to need a break after this.
I have to pee.
So bad. Sitting here apologizing for my dead son waiting to pee.
Potty is the reward.
Kinky.
So I think maybe I'll answer this through some sort of dialogue and give this to you as he goes. But just to be clear, Mo, you haven't told him about the peace conference, right?
No, that's like next. I want to, like, after we read him in on the project, I'm like, and now our goal is a peace conference.
Yeah. I think what he says to you is, you're asking me to trust you so you can read me in on a project that, as far as I understand it, is designed to help the people who killed our son. I backed you up at the press conference because I didn't know what else to do, because you put yourself in a position where without that, Nico Torres would have been left in charge with nothing on your side to stop him. But don't think for a second that I'm on the side of the Republic. You know I can't do that, Nasir. And everything I did there, Nasir, I did to stop them from fighting a war, to stop them from possibly winning one. What could you read me in on that would change any of that?
Aventine has the advantage in a way that would fundamentally end the war before it started. And if they find out that that's the case, they will remove any connection humanity has to one another, including here in the Verge. I'm not trying to save the Republic. I'm trying to save the Verge. Even if it means I'm a traitor and I never go back.
It's hard for me to believe you, Nasir. Ever since before the war, the Republic's always had the upper hand. It always had the power. I told you before, an even playing field where both sides have reason to fear attacking the other, that's the only way we're going to have a peace that will last. If what you said is true, and he kind of shakes his head and says, you have to have some plan to stop the fighting.
We're thinking about calling everyone together, including leaders across the Verge. We're in the midst of organizing a peace summit of sorts. But what steps we should take, we're not entirely sure how to avoid aggravating Aventine further. We need you. And I can't read you in further unless we can put all our cards on the table.
So let me ask you this. I'm just really struggling with this what does your character wish I'd do question, because there's just so much that could mean. Was there anything particular you were trying to get at with that, Mom?
I was going the emotional route, right? Like, we have a deep history and I know how much in turmoil I am. And like, what I want for us is for us to be at peace. Right. Like, I think I said this the first time I was in his apartment. My worst fear isn't that we're over. My worst fear is that we're not done.
Oh, I see.
It's not, there's no, I want closure. I think I said that to Mara in the last arc. And if there is anything that Nasir has been denied in this relationship, it is closure. And so I think there's this desperation of like, what do you want from me? Right? Like the original question, right? The question I asked in our fucking home back on Aventine after our son died. What do you want me to do? Tell me what you want me to say.
Yeah. I think he looks at you and says, Sasha Green, the other three, do you trust them completely?
With my life and with the fate of the galaxy.
I think there's a several seconds pause and then he just nods. And I think he takes the slate and says, I'm going to go back to the apartment. I know how to handle this. I hope you're right about this. I hope you're right about this plan. And I appreciate what you said earlier about Sleem. But that doesn't mean I can forget. I'm helping you to stop a war. I don't know if I can help you to build a peace. And I think the thing that you get from that, and I don't really know if this is what does your character wish I do, because maybe you already gave this to some degree, but I think you can tell, despite everything that happened since you came back, since you went to Ascension Station, that he hasn't forgiven you for going to the Republic. You're aligning with the people that he views as responsible for the death of your son.
We'll figure out peace next. First, let's stop a war. Before you head to your apartment, you should come with me. We don't have a moment to waste. And I think you see like a montage of like us heading to Minerva Project headquarters in a clandestine way, a scene with Director Green and maybe the squad, the projections of like everything we've learned about the Lustra, the reveal to Director Green of like who Mateo is, and like a full read-in on both parties of everything we know and the goals of the summit. I think that includes the device Dr. Belova is currently building. And I think that includes Leela's belief that it's aliens. But I also think there's like a description, like you see that him reading a description of like the shepherds and et cetera. So #NoMoreSecrets.